Well, I'm glad we have that promise, aren't you? I thank the Lord we'll meet over there in heaven. When we get over there, I'll be able to play one of those things that always wanted to but never really worked at it or took lessons, but that's good, all right? Take your Bibles now, if you will, please, and turn to Proverbs 14. We continue in the book of Proverbs. Tonight, I want to talk about something that probably is a difficulty that most of us have to deal with at some point, and maybe a number of times in our relationships. We have a lot of relationships in life. We deal with a lot of situations. We deal with a lot of people, don't we? All kinds of people. And so sometimes our tempers are tested a little bit. So Proverbs 14, beginning with verse 17, I want to talk about the Christian and our temper. Proverbs 14, 17. Here's the principle. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Verse 29, the Bible says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Proverbs 14, 29. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly, is asking for problems and raises up folly. Chapter 15, verse 1, the principle, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And then in verse 18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Obviously, Solomon, writing under the guidance, the total inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had quite a bit to say about how we react to situations, and particularly in the matter of our temper. And to have a spirit-controlled temper is a challenge in our lives, but it ought to be true in our lives. That would give us a calmness of mind in all kinds of situations, a reaction that is going to bring honor and glory to God. But when we lose that calmness of mind, we call it losing our temper. We allow the flesh to be in control rather than allowing the Spirit of God to be in control. And obviously, not only these verses, but many verses in the Bible teach us that being short-fused and quick-tempered is something that really does not please the Lord. What causes it? Well, it goes back to Adam, doesn't it? And some people say, well, I get it honestly. What does that mean? I get it honestly. Well, we're usually referring to I get it from my mother, or I get it from my daddy, or if we can't blame it on them, we'll say I get it from my great-grandpa or some family member, that it genetically I inherited that. We all have the sin nature, and I would say that we all get it honestly, at least from Adam. We can't blame it on our relatives. You cannot blame it on your mother or your daddy. You're not answering for them, and they're not answering for you. We're answering for each other, for ourselves. I mean, we have to answer for ourselves. And so God tells us that it can cause a lot of problems if we're hot-tempered, if we're quick to really react in a very adverse way to people in different circumstances. And God certainly is not pleased with that. I think many times of the husband-wife relationship. Guys, we have to work on that. And ladies do too. If we're going to have a happy marriage and a happy home, we're going to have our temper under control. And if you don't have, you're going to have problems in that relationship or any other relationship. God says that in the home there ought to be a soft answer. There should be a pleasant reply. And I know that that is very challenging sometimes in both directions. Amen? You can go ahead and say amen. You won't get in trouble, I don't think. I don't care who it is. Sometimes the challenge is really put there in our lives. But we need to be careful of that. A lot of times it's with relatives, especially in-laws, right? We really have to be careful with that. Because in-laws can really get under your skin. Now, I have some in-laws in this church, and we're not having any problems. I just want to say that up front. But I can tell you that throughout the history of my existence, I have had some in-laws that I've had some problems with. Now, I had a great mother-in-law. I really did. Carolyn's mother was a wonderful lady, and I miss her dearly. She was one of the funniest women, one of the greatest ladies I ever knew. Fine Christian lady. I wish all of you could have known. We called her Nan. Her name was Nanny Kate Fitzpatrick. She was a wonderful Christian lady. So was Carolyn's father. But I can't say that about all of her family, nor mine. But sometimes the reason we don't get along as relatives is because we have quick tempers. And it can, again, it can work in both directions. One of the most trying things we have sometimes can be our neighbors, right? Especially if they have a dog that barks at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning when you're trying to sleep. I had a neighbor some time back. They were putting in a swimming pool across the canal over in another area, across from that in their backyard there. And for some reason, I guess he had his dog in a certain place all those years or whatever time it was, and then he moved him, put him on another chain, put him in a different location. And that crazy dog liked to have gone crazy and like drove me crazy. And I really wanted to go over and talk to my neighbor. But at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'd be praying. I can't tell you, it might not be right to say I was praying God to kill that dog, but at any rate, I was praying. And I love dogs, don't get mad. I've got a good border collie. But Proverbs 11:12 says, "He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace." We've got to get along with our neighbors. It's a good thing to do as much as within you is to do that. Teenagers sometimes, they're not in here tonight, one or two, but most of them are over on the other side at the youth meeting. But sometimes teenagers, man, you talk about hot tempered. They can be hot tempered. They get in fights. They get in squabbles even at the church. Usually it's over a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or something like that. And if nothing else, we Baptists certainly can lose our temper when we're in an athletic situation where we're competitive. The other night, I called, it's been about 2 or 3 months ago, I called Jimmy Zorns, a young man that was from our church, out of my church in Indiana. He works at the church in Joshua, and Joshua Baptist Temple. And so I called him about a matter, and all of a sudden he started telling me about something and saying, "I'm sorry about what happened, sorry about what took place," and so on and so forth. I said, "Well, I don't even know what you're talking about, but go ahead and tell me about it." And he said, "Well, there was a group that was having a basketball game up here, I think a homeschoolers group or something like that, and they had, and that's no reflection on them, they're fine people, but they had untrained referees, I guess it was. They weren't really qualified, so they just volunteered some men to referee. And before the whole thing got over with, they were in a fight over the situation." And I said, "Jimmy, I really didn't even know it." But he said, "You know, that shouldn't have gotten out of hand." I'm not saying Jimmy was the one, but it shouldn't have gotten out of hand. And I said, "You're right." And I talked to Brother Rigsby about it, and I said, "You talk to him and tell him, if that's the way it's going to be, they can't come over there anymore. They ought to be able to get along. People in homeschool and And for the most part, most of them saying that they're Christians. But we can really lose our temper and some of those things. And it's not a good thing. And it doesn't bring any honor and glory to the Lord. Psychologists or psychiatrists will say, oh, that's good for you. Go ahead and release it. Go ahead and let it go. That's healthy for you. But the Bible says it's not. It's not healthy. And most of the situations that we deal with. And God says, watch your temper. And let me just mention a couple of things. One, a real Christian, according to the Bible, is going to be willing to pass over being mistreated. Amen. Have you ever been mistreated? Not if you have. Most of us have. And some of you may be going through it right now. But the Bible says, with the help of God and for the glory of God, that we should be willing to pass over being mistreated. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion, the choice, and the better choice of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. It is something that ought to crown us as being mature Christians if we learn to pass over a transgression. In Matthew 5, the Bible says, beginning with verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Oh, me. Don't you wish that wasn't in the Bible? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, I find that to be a very, very tall order. And I believe that that is not the natural response. I believe it is the supernatural response. And only with the help of God are we able to do that. And if we don't learn to do it, we're going to hurt our testimony. He says, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Anybody can love somebody that loves them and treats them right. It's an easy thing to do. Very easy to do, isn't it? People love you and they treat you right. It's easy to love them and treat them right. He says, even unsaved people can do like that. Do not even the publicans the same? Can't they do the same thing? And he's talking about low-down, crooked tax collectors and all of that. In verse Romans 12:21, he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. And we have to be careful about that. I remember on one occasion, I'll just share this as a matter of confession. I've heard a lot of men, a lot more important men than I ever would dream to be, tell some of the stories of how they lost their temper and how God pricked their heart about it. I was in a men's store in Connersville, where I pastored there for almost 20 years. And this guy was sort of an aloof type guy. There was only two or three other people in there, and he kept waiting on them and kept ignoring me. And I was in a hurry, and I needed something quickly, you know. We all are in a hurry in America. We're all in too big a hurry. But I did have a pressing schedule that day. And finally, he waited on everybody else and didn't wait on me. And somebody else came in, didn't wait on me. And so finally, I just said something to him, and he said something back to me, and I said something back to him. Very strongly, out loud, so everybody in the store could hear. I wanted them to hear it. And I left and didn't buy anything. And I didn't get a half a block, hardly down the street, until God said, now you know that was wrong. The Holy Spirit just pricked my heart and dealt with me. And I'm telling you, I was absolutely miserable. I was so miserable. So what did I do? I turned around, went back to the store, talked to the man, apologized to him, and I said, I'm a preacher, I'm a Christian, I shouldn't have done that. And I said, I was in a hurry, blah, 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 blah. And he was very appreciative of it, and we became friends after that. But I was very embarrassed. I knew it would hurt the cause of Christ. Have you ever been in a situation like that? By the way, it takes a lot of courage to apologize, doesn't it? But sometimes that's what we ought to do. That's exactly what we should do. I've heard Dr. David Gibbs tell about, some of you have heard him tell about what happened at an airport one time. Some of you have heard, how many of you have heard that story? A few of you have heard it. And yet he had the courage to go back and talk to them and explain that. And we all have had those times, no doubt, but it's something we must work on for the cause of Christ. And sometimes we're not going to be treated right. Sometimes people are going to mistreat us. And it isn't going to be fair game or fair play. But sometimes it may be a test to see what's going to happen. A man was watching some real rough kids one time up in Chicago, and they made a human chain and they blocked a street. People had to drive out of the way and go around them. And this man, instead of getting mad at them, stopped and went up to them and invited them to a Christian Halloween party. And after that took place, because of his kindness to them, he actually was able to start a Bible study with them and lead some of those young men to the Lord. And sometimes, maybe if we had a better reaction, we might see some better results like that. Sometimes you're going to be persecuted. Listen to Matthew chapter 5, 11. Blessed are ye, blessed or happy should you be, when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you, and underscore this word, falsely, for my sake. Somebody says, well, they lied on me. Well, aren't you glad they don't know the truth to tell about you? Oh, I know you don't have any, you're perfect. You don't have anything you wouldn't want told on you, but most of us would be very glad that everybody that knew everything, if they knew everything about us, didn't tell the truth about us. But he says, the best thing is that they're talking about you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Rejoice? Rejoice. And be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, not down here. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I've always admired the reality of what took place in Stephen's life. He had to be a great godly deacon, Christian, in order to do what he did. In Acts 7, where he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And he was being stoned to death for the cause of Christ. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That may have had something to do, and you can argue sovereignty and all of that, but that may have had something to do with the conversion of a guy by the name of Paul, because this Christian had the courage to say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That's like our Savior, isn't it? Father, forgive them, for they don't really realize what they're doing. Forgive them. And a real Christian is going to pass over being mistreated. And then a Christian, a real Christian, a Bible Christian, not a Christian by name only, is a Christian who forgives. Somebody who forgives. Do you know that forgiveness is a good Bible word? Forgiveness is a great Bible word. And I'm glad it's in there because I'm glad I've been forgiven. Mark tells us in chapter 11, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. If you have any anger, any hatred towards somebody, and when you stand up to pray, you ought to forgive if you have any aught against any. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now listen to this. This is strong. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. That isn't talking about being saved, once saved, always saved, but it's talking about, as a believer, I think it's talking about the fact that if we're not willing as believers to forgive other people, then we have no right to ask God to forgive us of things that we're doing that are wrong, that are against Him, and we all have those things, because in 1 John, God says if we say we have no sin, we're lying about it. And that's why we need to confess our sin. And even in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so that's all part of it. And God tells us that we ought to forgive. Forgiveness is commanded. Luke 17:4, and if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. That'll work. It's hard to do, but it'll work. And if God wants us to do it, that's what we ought to do. And you know the parable in Matthew 18, where a great debt was forgiven to a man. I mean a large debt, a big, huge debt. And he took the forgiveness of that debt. And then somebody owed him just a little bit and came to him and asked for forgiveness and an extension and all of that. And he wouldn't do it. And God was watching the whole situation. And he was reprimanded for it because of that. And he was classified as a hypocrite. We should watch our tempers. And if we need to ask for forgiveness, we should do it. But if somebody has hurt us, we shouldn't try to get even with them. I said Sunday, I believe it was, and I just quickly mentioned that. And I heard it recently, and it's a good thing. We say, well, I'm going to get even with them. I'm going to get even with her. I'm going to get even with him. It's the last thing I do. And here we are, right with God, walking with God, and here they are, they're wrong. And here we come downward, and we do get even with them. And that's not a brag. Nothing to brag about. We get even with them. In other words, we're on their same carnal plane that they're on for what they did. And we get even with them. And God is not really pleased with that. Now, who's the greatest example we have? Obviously, it's Christ. Christ is the greatest example of Christians to follow and to show about forgiveness and all of that. And listen to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. I read a book one time called In His Steps by Charles Sheldon. Some of you have read it. You wouldn't agree with everything in the book, but I think it's worth reading because it implies if we're really Christians, we would walk in his steps, just like the rich girl in that book began to walk in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he says that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He was perfect. Who when he was reviled, he was perfect. We deserve a lot of what we get. When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who's that? He committed it all to the Father. He said, I'll let the Father handle this. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. Vengeance doesn't belong to me, it doesn't belong to you. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. That's Jesus. That's the way he did it. And he says we're to walk in his steps. Christ forgives his enemies. I'm glad, because I was at one time an enemy to God. Before I got saved, before anybody gets saved, they're enemies. They're at odds with God. They're on the outs with God. Even as a 9-year-old lad, I was on the outs with God. I was condemned. I was alienated from God. And I came to him as a 9-year-old boy and got saved. And I'm glad he didn't say, no, sonny boy, you get on back there in that pew about 5 rows back in that little country church. I'm not going to forgive you. Try again later. No. I'll never forget that night when all of my sins went under the blood. And even as a 9-year-old boy, the peace that flooded my soul, because I knew in my heart that God had forgiven me of all of my sins, past, present, yeah, and future, because of his grace and his mercy. The story of Joseph is one of the... I love Joseph, one of my very favorite characters, and I love the story about Joseph. What a godly person he had to be to do all he did and to not succumb to the temptation with Potiphar's wife. And then the story of how he loved his brothers. He could have got even with them. I mean, he was the second man down in all of the kingdom, and he could have said, hey, guards, come here. See these guys? They treated me bad one day, and I want you to take their heads off. And they would have done it just like that. I mean, seriously, they would have done it. Or he could have said, stone them, take them out and stone them to death. But instead, he couldn't hardly contain himself. He went away and cried and came back. He had a little fun with them a while. Put the silver cup in the food and the money and so on and so forth in the bags, and had a little fun with them, I guess. There was more in that. involved to get his father there, but then he forgave them. He is a good type of Jesus Christ, isn't he? Joseph did that. And boy, he was abused and mistreated in every way. And listen, when he was in prison, it was tough. When he was going through what he went through, it was horrible. It wasn't good. We may think he floated around in some capsule in a halo. It wasn't that way. He was a human being, and he hurt, and he got thirsty, and he got sick, and he went through all the hurts that we might go through if we were in prison. But when the time came, he forgave them with a broken heart and tears in his eyes. And I believe that we ought to do that. Somebody, I remember, told me one time about apologizing to the person. And the person said, "I don't want your apology. I don't want it. Get out of here and leave me alone. I don't want it." Well, I'm glad God does want our apology, and he takes it if we'll give it to him. And we're supposed to be people that know how, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to control our temper. We may not drink Budweiser or Falstaff or Jim Beam or whatever the rest of them are. Some of you who know will have to help me out here. But we may not chew tobacco. It's sort of a bad habit, isn't it? I've seen Baptist women who dip snuff. That's sort of, I'm just glad I didn't marry one like that. Amen. That would have been tough. But we don't do any of those things. And that's good. You say, "Well, I don't smoke." And I think that's good. Your body's a temple of the Lord. And I don't overeat and so on and so forth. But let me tell you something. This thing of having a hot temper can hurt our testimony as much as drinking a cool one somewhere if we're not careful. And it is a detriment. And God gives us. And remember, Proverbs is a book about wisdom, about being wise. And God says the wise man is going to be slow with his tongue, or woman, either one, and they're going to not be quick to lose their temper. And we're going to face things all the time, but we've got to remember, for God's glory, to his honor, to his glory, we need to have our temper controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And the end result is God will get the glory. It'll help our homes. It'll help our marriage. It'll help you at your job. It'll help every relationship we have in life if we will be controlled by the Holy Spirit in our temper. Let's stand, please. Father, I thank you that your word addresses every aspect and every arena of our lives, including our emotions that involve our what we would call our temper. And Father, I pray that you would help us as believers to often bite our tongue, count to 10, pray to you, and ask for the strength that you will give us that we can react to a situation in a way that brings honor and glory to you. Help husbands to be that way. Help wives to be that way. Lord, not easily provoked. God, help us in our relationships with other people that we would have control of our temper. And we know that that can only come primarily through being saved and through the help of the Holy Spirit. But we thank you that he has come, he indwells us, and if we're willing to obey your word, we have the assistance and the wherewithal, the power through the Holy Spirit to do what you've asked us to do. You've not asked us to do something that we're incapable of doing. And with every temptation, even if it is to lose our temper, you have given us the way of escape. Help us now. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.